Praise the Lord. God is good. Great to be in the house of God on Sunday evening. Praise God. Great to be in one of the greatest churches in America. Hallelujah. And so we're glad that you are here tonight. It would be difficult to preach to the empty seats if you weren't here. And so at any rate, we're certainly glad to see all of you tonight and proud of you for coming out on Sunday evening after such a long week of meetings and so forth. You could easily have stayed home, but we thank God that you are here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. And I want to read verses 8 through 13. And the tendency when you announce a very familiar scripture is that the expectation level goes down. And I have to tell you that that it doesn't matter how much we know about a particular scripture. When the Holy Spirit turns the spotlight of revelation on that scripture, there's things that come forth that will amaze your mind. And it makes you wonder, what was the matter with me that I didn't see it before? And so Romans chapter 10, verse 8, don't let your expectation level go down just because I announced that scripture. But let's look at it a little bit. He says here in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a couple of interesting things here that we need to take note of. And then I want to get into a particular avenue that I want to major on. But first of all, I kind of just want to just bring some things to lay to your attention as a foundation for what I want to say. First of all, I want to say this. If you didn't hear Brother Jim Andrews this morning talking about the finished work of Christ, then you need to get that CD out there. It is well worth your time to get that, because that is literally the foundation of what we're talking about here. How many of you know that God the Father was happy with what Jesus did? Isn't that right? And there really isn't anything that you can add to it. You can't make a legitimate suggestion saying, Jesus, I think if you would have done it this way, it would have been better. No, I don't think anybody can legitimately say that Jesus did not finish the work that he did at Calvary. He finished that work, and there's really nothing we can add to it except to respond to it and endeavor in our entire life to walk in the light of that the rest of our life. So here we go. And so the interesting thing about Paul, some people think that Paul had a different gospel than maybe some of the other apostles did. But I want you to realize that Paul was not presenting his own gospel here. He was looking and quoting scriptures out of the Old Testament that speak of the salvation that we now enjoy. For example, verse 8 is a quote out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. And so we have that scripture there. And then down in verse 11, he quotes Isaiah 28:16. And then in verse 13, he quotes Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. So he's not just forming his own thing. He's not doing something separate from what has been, but he's building upon that which had been spoken from ancient times, from millenniums or centuries before that were spoken. And now he's proclaiming that which has been spoken is now here. This is what they were talking about. We now have the privilege of living in the light of these things. And so I want you to realize that the second thing that I want you to notice in these verses is the word saved and the word salvation. The word saved is a Greek word sozo. Everybody say sozo. Sozo. Not so-so, but sozo. And then the word salvation is a Greek word, soteria. Can you say that with me? Soteria. Doesn't it make you feel smart? Now you know some Greek. Anyway. But anyway, all right. But here's the thing. Scofield points out that those two words refer to the all-inclusive gospel, which not only includes salvation, but also healing and safety and well-being of an individual. And so really, when you start talking about these portions of scriptures, we're talking primarily about salvation, but we're also talking about anything else that you and I would need from God, because Christ's work at Calvary provided all that you and I need to live the Christian life that He's asked us to live. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 8, we see that it says here, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He said it's in your mouth and in your heart. Near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, let me just dwell on that just for a few moments and then just tell you this. Here's why it's near to you. It's because Christ has made it available to you. And since then, it's within reach. You can speak it out of your mouth and get it into your heart. And you have to realize that just because Christ did what He did and that redemptive work was settled in heaven doesn't mean that it will automatically affect you. Or just because your Bible contains the truths that are in there, and great truths that relate to what Jesus did, doesn't mean that it's going to leap off of the page and somehow jump inside of you and without you knowing it, and you wake up in the morning some totally different person. That's not going to happen either. What it does mean is this, that Christ made it available. He's brought it near, within your reach. And now what you and I need to do is to begin to speak what that word says and begin to believe it in our heart. And so that is why you and I need to get the word, not only read the word, but speak the word. Say, speak the word. And so that brings me to the title that I have for you tonight, and that is simply this: confession is the road to possession. Confession is the road to possession. And so there is a, how many of you understand that Christ has no doubt done an excellent work at Calvary? All-inclusive work. He made provision for everything that you need. The fight that we fight in these days is the fight of faith, the fight to speak and the fight to believe against circumstances, against demonic powers and against situations and against the thoughts that would go off in our mind. How many of you have ever had your mind go off? You thought to yourself, you know, the rockets, they blast off down there in Florida, don't have much on my mind. My mind's blasting off with thoughts. One lady said this. She said, if my mind was a racehorse, I'd come in first. Because her mind was so active. Well, the challenge is to believe God in the midst of all of that, to believe in our heart and to speak out of our mouth what the word says instead of just what we're thinking. Isn't that right? When I was growing up, my dad told me, he said, you ought to think before you speak. Amen. Well, sometimes I thought and spoke anyway and still wasn't so great until I got my mind renewed. Isn't that right? So we have to recognize the need then, for the word needs to be closer to you than heaven. It needs to be closer to you than the pages of the Bible. It needs to be in your mouth and in your heart. in order for it to work for you. And so I want to encourage you with that Christ, what Christ did, enables you to have that word. Now, in verse 8, it says, the word is near you, that word, okay? That little word, you understand what I mean? That word is the word rhema. It simply can't, there's another Greek word that's used in reference to the word of God, and that word is logos. Logos refers to the written word. Rhema refers to the spoken word, that which is uttered. You know, let me just say this to you. Can I say it to you this way? So many times I believe that the promise unuttered is never seen in our life. But when we begin to utter or speak or say or confess the promise of God, it activates heaven to move on our behalf to bring forth that which Jesus paid for. Isn't that right? And so we need to recognize that we need the logos, the written word, so that we can see what God's word is. But then you begin to speak it until it settles down in your heart. And that word that settles down in your heart, somehow from here going in you, the logos going in you, and then you speak out what you believe. Somehow logos goes from the word goes from logos to rhema. It goes from written to spoken. And that is a process that you and I have to be involved in if you and I are going to receive what God has for us. And so I'm going to encourage you that God wants his word to come off the page of the Bible into your mouth and into your heart. Now notice that in verse 8, it did not say, here's something else that's interesting. He did not say, in your heart and in your mouth. Because, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, you have to have it in your heart before you can speak it, and that's how it works. But here it says, in your mouth and in your heart. Here's something that Brother Hagin taught us. He said you can school yourself into faith. What did he mean by that? He meant that you can talk yourself into believing the word. You hear it until you believe it, and then you speak it because you believe it. Can I say that again? You hear it, or you speak it until you believe it, and then you speak it because you believe it. There's a process of getting it in you, and then there's a process of getting it out. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to realize then that this is so important, that God wants you to be able to have the faith that you need to tap into what Jesus bought and paid for. Interesting thing, when he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14, the verse ends this way: the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. That's what Deuteronomy 30:14 says, that you may do it. Well, why does God want you to speak the word and then believe it in your heart and then speak it out because you believe it? Why does he want you to do that? Because he wants you to be able to walk in it. He wants you to be able to walk in the reality of it. He wants you to have the manifestation of it in your life. He wants you to be able to see the promise of God actually happen in your life. He doesn't want you to have a theological idea of about the Word of God. He wants you to have a revelation of what the Word says, and that my friend, will enable you to receive what God has for you. But he tells us then in verse 10 that we are to believe with our heart. Isn't that right? To believe with our heart. And he says here in verse, he says it two times. He said in verse 9 that we are to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And then in verse 10, he said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And so he says here, he says that. In verse 11, he said, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So three times in these verses, he says, believe. Isn't that right? So what is he doing? He's encouraging you to believe with your heart. Not just accept the truth with your mind. How many of you know there's a lot of things that you accept with your mind, but that doesn't mean you believe it with your heart. Isn't that right? I mean, I accept. Now, I'm talking about me. You can just look straight ahead, and I'm sure your neighbor won't even notice. But, you know, I accept with my mind that S-T-O-P means stop. I agree that it means stop. But the question is, are you committed in your heart when you see S-T-O-P to actually come to a stop? Getting quiet in here. I know, just look forward. Don't look at your neighbor. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between believing with your heart and simply accepting something as a true thing. I mean, we agree. I mean, you know, that S-T-O-P means stop. Everybody agrees that. I mean, we taught that in school. Isn't that right? But you know, when we're out driving, does that mean we actually believe we have to? Just looking straight ahead. All right. We're going to get through this tonight. See, there's a difference between believing with your heart and accepting something as true in your mind. Yes, your mind needs to be renewed, but it needs to go further than that. You keep speaking it until your mind is renewed, but you keep speaking it until something drops, goes off on the inside, down in the heart, down in this part, down in here, your spirit man, down here, down where you believe, down where your believer is. You understand what I mean by that? And so it is with your heart that you believe. That's why the word needs to be spoken. Because here's why you need to get it down in your heart. Because God, listen to this, God will deposit the revelation of what he wants you to have in your heart. That the revelation of what God wants you to have has to get down inside of you. You want God to put that revelation down inside of you. Amen. How many times did somebody... I remember when my dad, you know, he had cows and he'd get us boys up to go milk cows at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't like that. I mean, I'm going to school, you know. I mean, we went out and milked 3 or 4 cows and by hand back in those days, fed the calves and fed you know, hay to the cows and fed the chickens. And then we finally went back inside and we cleaned up and changed clothes and ate breakfast. And then we were out there meeting a school bus at 8 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, one morning or one day I heard my neighbor boy who didn't have cows. They didn't have cows. He said something about sleeping in. And I'm thinking, what is that? He said, well, you know, I don't have to get up. I thought, you know, that'd be nice. And so, you know, I understand as a truth that God, that Dad wants me to get up and go out and milk cows, but I decided to do something different. So I decided I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to see how this is. So I slept in. My brother got up. I rolled over and went back to sleep. First thing I knew, my dad was jerking me out of bed. He gave me a whooping and made a believer out of me. And then I never tried that again. I believed in my heart that I better get out there. There's a difference between just thinking about something and believing it in your heart. There wasn't any doubt about it. I didn't even question it. When the alarm goes off or when Dad hollered up the stairs, hey, I'm a believer. I'm moving. Absolutely. And so my dad now, when we talk about it, he kind of gets embarrassed, you know, with those things, you know. But anyway, Now here's something interesting that I want to get to in the short time that I want to speak to you tonight. And that is, he talks not only about believing with your heart, but he talks about confessing with your mouth. Confessing with your mouth. In verse 9, he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. In verse 10, he says, and with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness, unto salvation. In verse 12, he says, the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. In verse 13, whoever calls, interesting word, Greek word here. It is a Greek word, epikaleomehi. It means to entitle or to invoke. So it literally means this: whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall invoke or is entitled to salvation. You understand what I mean by that? You become entitled to it. Isn't that amazing? So to obtain salvation then, that Jesus provided for you and everything else that God has provided for you, your mouth has to get involved. Say, my mouth. Not my neighbor's. Thank God. Oh, you understand what I mean by that? Aren't you glad you don't get what somebody else says? Boy, that'd be a puppet on a string, wouldn't it? Dancing a tune that you didn't like. But you understand, your mouth needs to be engaged, speaking the word, because that's how the things that you need from God come into your life. And we need to recognize that. He says this, confession is made. Notice verse 10, confession is made unto salvation. It is made. That means you make it. That means that's something you do. You confess. No, I'm not depending. You say, now what if I get it wrong? Listen, I'm not a legalist. I'm not advocating you being a legalist. I'm talking about you speak the word until you believe it in your heart, and then you'll not have a problem speaking the word that you believe. Right. How many of you have ever set out to speak the word? I'm going to speak the word until I see something happen. Anybody ever set out to do that? How many of you fizzled? How many of you can say, look, I've tried that. I fizzled. I've done it many times. Why? Let me just tell you this, because I didn't speak it long enough until I believed it in my heart, until it was down in my heart, until it went off inside of me, until it was simply information that never turned into a revelation. You understand what I mean? And because it was never a revelation, and I never filled up with that revelation inside of me, I had trouble speaking it out in faith. The reason people can't do a confession of faith very well is because it's not down in them yet. That means you got to keep doing it whether you feel like it or not, and then at some point, it'll start welling up out of your spirit, and you speak it out of your mouth, and that's when the power of God is released. Amen? And so confession is absolutely necessary. It is made unto salvation. In other words, you confess unto salvation. That is, you confess until you have salvation. Doesn't take long. The moment I confess Jesus as my Lord, you know, it doesn't take long. I confess him as my Lord. As soon as God hears that, boom, he goes into action. If we could take that same faith and put it into towards healing or safety or our well-being, whether it's material needs or whatever it is, what if we would believe the same way concerning the scriptures about other things the way we do salvation? How many of you think healing is harder for God to do than salvation? How many of you think it's just as easy for God to do one or the other? Jesus indicated, he said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or that you're healed? which is easier to say? Well, both are as one's as easy to say as another, but also both are one's as easy to do as the other. So you see, sometimes we got to get over hurdles in our minds. We believe God can heal a headache, but he can't heal any disease that starts with a C. Oh, you know that C word. Ooh. And so people get into fear because they never get to the place of speaking the word until they get it down in them so much that there's not room for fear anymore. And then because fear has no place in them, and faith, they're full of faith, out of the abundance of their mouth, they begin to declare that healing is mine. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. You see what I'm saying? And the healing, they possess that healing. The word confession is the Greek word homologeo, and it means to assent, that is to acknowledge. It means to acknowledge what? The word. What the word says. In this case, acknowledge what God provided. Acknowledge what God promised. Acknowledge what God has made available to you. When it looks like when your bank account is empty, begin to acknowledge what God said in His word. Don't go around saying, oh, my bank account's empty. Oh, my bank. Well, obviously, you know what your bank account, what you have available to you in your natural bank account. Okay? But now listen to me. But you've got much more available to you through God, talking to God, confessing the word to God, and getting that truth down in, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, I've got untold riches that have been made available to me. Listen to me. I've got untold riches. Riches that I have not grasped yet with my mind, that are made available to me through what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And I'm telling you, if I begin to confess that the riches of heaven are mine. You see, something begins to happen down on the inside until you start filling up on that. Let me tell you something. You got to sometimes out-talk your circumstances. You got to sometimes out-talk the thoughts that are going on in your mind. If your thoughts are keeping you awake at night, you ought to get louder than your thoughts. Glory to God. And if the devil ever starts talking to you, you need to just out-talk that dude. Jesus out-talked him with the word. He just kept confessing the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Bible says that the devil left him for a better season, which never came, by the way. Let me tell you something. Has the devil ever left you for a better season? Because you were so full of the word that you just spoke it out and you just drove away whatever he was trying to do. And man, I'm telling you, he just grabbed whatever he had left and took it with him and just went on the run. You see, that's what you've got to learn to do. Confession is the road to possession. And you see, the enemy does his best to seek to get Christians to be quiet. And many lose their inheritance in Christ by reason of being silent. That is, they never experience it in this life, even though the Bible says they could. Because they've never laid hold of it with their mouth. I've seen, as you have, we've seen, you've got delivery trucks, you've got FedEx, and you've got UPS and DHL, and I don't know, man, I got to give them equal time, you know. But you understand what I mean by that? They're out delivering. Did you know they don't just hand the packages out? Did you ever notice that? Randomly? No. They get a package, and then they want you, they bring it, they know who's supposed to go to, because they've got a prior order, direction. And then they come to the door, they want you to sign for it. Isn't that right? I want you to get something. I want you to get something down in you. Listen to me, I'm running out of time. But listen to me. This is so important. This is why confession is so important. Because you see, I don't know how to say it any better than this. Your words are your signature in the realm of the Spirit. Your ink pen does not work in the realm of the Spirit. I don't care if you get a Mont Blanc, the best pen in the world that they make, whatever that is. But I want to tell you, it doesn't work in the Spirit realm. You can write, sign your name all you want to. But if you don't speak up and begin to say, that is mine, bring it to my house, right where I'm at, I believe it's mine. You see, that's where your words are your signature. You're signing for the heavenly package to be delivered to your door. That's why your words are so important. Because it puts God into action. It also alerts God where to deliver. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not get your package mixed up with somebody else's. Sometimes people look at another person, I wish I had what they had. Well, you can have it. Put your order in. If it's in the Bible, promised in the Bible, and you can start saying it. Start saying, I believe that's for me. Amen. You know, the first time you say it, your mouth, out of your mouth, you know, your mind, ha, 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 what's what you think? You ever have your mind do that to you? Boy, don't you sound like a fool. I mean, you don't want other people hearing you say that. I'm telling you, they know it's not possible, and you ought to know it's not possible either. And you know, your mind needs to get educated into the thing, according to the things of God. That's why you keep saying it. Why? Because you renew your mind. And you keep saying it until it gets down inside of you. I remember when I was 10 years old, I decided to run away from home. I was doing fine until it got dark. I forgot that I was scared of the dark. And I had a big problem. I'm telling you, there's lots of unknown things out there on that road that I was walking down. I finally got so scared, I turned around and said, my God, at least I know what I'm going to get when I get home. You know, I don't know what's in those bushes out there, you know. So I'm walking home, and this feeling came over me of just being afraid, lonely, feeling like I don't have anybody in the world. And all of a sudden, and this had to be, you know, orchestrated by the Holy Ghost, because we didn't do things like that in our church. But all of a sudden, I found myself with my hands lifted up in the air, crying out with a loud voice. So I walked on that country road by myself, 10-year-old boy. Lord, save me! Lord, save me! Lord, save me! I'm thinking, yeah, I need to be saved from what Dad's going to do to me when I get home. Lord, save me. But I noticed it came from way down in here. And I'm telling you, it just came as a cry of desperation to God. It didn't have anybody else. If I told my friends anything about what I did, they'd think I'm crazy. Mom and Dad are upset. Preachers are somebody you don't talk to. Didn't have anybody else. Found myself calling out to God. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came upon me, and the peace of God entered into my heart. And then, I didn't know what happened, but I knew that I'd encountered God in a way that I'd not been told about. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God answers the call that comes up to heaven, for that comes out of the depth of your heart. Absolutely. The problem was, my dad found me a little bit later, and he didn't know what to do with me, so God did save me all the way around. Thank God for that. But now here's the thing. Here's the sad thing. I never told anybody what happened on that country road. And see, because I didn't tell anybody, I didn't say anything. I lost the power of what God did in my life because I remained silent about it. And I spent the next 12 years living like the devil because I didn't know. I never told anybody. I didn't know one person who would appreciate it. I just remembered. And there were times when I'd be out there with my friends and we'd be doing things and I'd be hustling pool and doing what I'm doing and acting like I'm having a great big time, and I'd be sad on the inside. And I'm wondering, how come this isn't really the fun that I thought it was? It's because I got a born again spirit on the inside that's longing for the Word of God, that is longing to be fed the Word of God, longing to get me to the point where I would look into the Bible and begin to say what the Bible says so that it can find its way down inside of me, down in my heart, and my spirit get fed and get filled up on what God said. And then out of that comes the confession of faith that activates heaven. Say, 22 years old. I'm driving down a country road in my car. 2 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden I had such a clear understanding of the futility of doing what I'm doing with my life, that I saw that I was further away from where I wanted to be than when I started. It was an awful feeling. And I thought I had did my best to move in the direction I wanted to go. And I'm further away. I did my best. I did my best. I did everything I knew to do to get there. And I moved away instead of getting closer. And I saw the futility of living my own life. And out of that, I saw something else. I saw all of a sudden so clearly what Christ did at Calvary for me. Christ paid the price for me at Calvary. He did what I can't do. I can't do what I want to do on my own, but if I receive Christ into my life, then I can live the life that my heart longs for. I just saw it all in an instant. And I found myself going down the country road, driving down the country road, and I said, Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord. And I promise you that if you give me salvation right now, that I'll serve you the rest of my life. And the same presence of God that I experienced when I was 10 years old came into that car, filled that car, it was tangible. I can feel it now. And the peace of God came into my heart, and all of a sudden, I knew. You could march 1,000 people past me and say, you're not saved, and I'd have to say, I beg to differ, I am saved. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. That was on a Monday morning, and I went that day, and the reality of that knowledge somehow just got bigger and bigger on the inside. And by Tuesday, I had to tell somebody. I mean, the pressure's on. Tell somebody. It was the Spirit of God urging me in the right direction. Tell somebody. Get your mouth engaged. Because it'll help you to walk in the light of what you received. You see, a lot of people receive something, but because they don't keep talking about it or keep saying what God did, they lose the ability to walk in it. I remembered one friend that had taken me to a meeting. I thought, well, he would like that. So I went out to find him, and he was about, now you don't have to enjoy this if you don't want to, but don't write me any letters either, but this is the way it was. He was about just about an inch or two taller than I am and about this big around. And when I told him what happened on that country road, he got so happy that he jumped up and down and never left the ground. It was just a ripple going up and down. He was so happy. I mean, so happy. And I felt so good because I was speaking what God had worked in me. And the power of that confession enabled me to continue walking in what I had received. Let me tell you something. We're only as strong as the confession that we have of the Word of God. Yes, Jesus paid for everything. Yes, Jesus' work is a finished work. But I want you to know, stand up with me, that when you begin to confess with your mouth, you can have salvation. When you confess with your mouth, begin to believe with your heart, you can have healing. When you confess with your mouth and confess with and believe in your heart, you can have safety. You can have well-being. You can have your needs met. I can tell you story after story, but we ran out of time. Story after story of just telling you how that we can receive by the confession of our mouth, that we can receive what God has for us. Amen. You're standing here tonight. I want you to bow your heads. People in this place, I know by my spirit, people in this place tonight, heads bowed, people not looking around. I want you to respect your neighbor. And you're here tonight and you've not confessed Jesus as Lord, your Savior. You're not where you need to be with God. And tonight, I want you to have that opportunity to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, you may believe. Nothing wrong with what you believe. Nothing wrong with what you believe. But you see, the problem is confessing Jesus as Lord. Tonight, you can have that opportunity to believe. And not only to believe, but to confess that Jesus is Lord. And to confess that He forgives your sins and that you're His child and He's your Father. And that you can live for Him the rest of your life. If that's you tonight, I want you to slip your hand up right now, because you see, tonight is the night to do it. Why? Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to help. So this is your opportunity. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Let me tell you something. We just got back from putting my brother into the grave. He went fishing. He went fishing. The boat overturned. We don't know why. Never intended to turn the boat over. He's a careful man. We don't know why the boat turned over. The coroner told us that he didn't last 30 seconds in the water. Let me tell you something. You might think you've planned out your death, the time of your death. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people that planned 11th hour death, and 10:30 is coming up. I want you to know tonight is your night. I don't apologize for being bold about your need for salvation, for your need to be right with God, for your need for you to make sure that God is your Savior. He's everything, that you allow Him to be everything that you need in your life. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. I'm gonna get ready. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. When I get to three, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to let me know I want Jesus in my life. I want to make sure things are right. One, I want you to make sure and get ready. Search your heart right now. Are you right with God? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If your boat overturned, would you be ready to go? Two, tonight's your night. In just a moment, you can receive what God planned for you to have. Three, I want you to raise your hands all over this place. I want you to raise your hand. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I want you. I want prayer tonight. I want prayer tonight. Slip your hand up right now. I know by the Spirit of God that you are here tonight. Saints, I want you to pray. I want you to believe God. I know you're here tonight because God spoke to me and told me that there would be people here tonight that need to get right with God. They need salvation, or they need to get rededicated with their life. I want you to be bold. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. This is between you and God. You don't want, while it is today, you need to take that opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. I'm looking for hands right now. I'm looking for hands right now. All over this place. Anywhere in this place, you would raise your hand. Be bold. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand and declare your need for Savior, for your need to make sure things are right with you, with God. Anywhere in this building right now. I'm waiting just a moment. I'm going to look one last time. God's giving you one last chance tonight. I'm not telling you that this is your last chance. I'm telling you one last chance tonight. I'm looking on my left, starting with my left, and I'm going to go to my right. I'm looking over to my left right now. Is there anyone over here that would raise their hand and say, I need Jesus. I need to rededicate my life tonight. Anybody at all? I'm looking over here. I'm looking over here in the center. I'm looking over here in the center. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Come now. Raise your hand while it is today. While you have the opportunity, raise your hand if you need it. If not, anybody else over here on my right-hand side now? Over here, anybody that would lift their hand? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray in just a moment. There may be those of you that are watching online that you need to get right with God. I want to pray for you in just a moment. Waiting just a moment. I know God's speaking to some people. In the custom of the way that they do the funerals for my brother, the finality of the dirt hitting the coffin is irreversible. You will not come out of the grave except by the power of God in the rapture. Or, if you're not ready for that, then you go to the place of the damned. Not apologizing. I'm simply saying that God spoke to me while I was there with my dealing with my brothers and my family. And you put this in my heart to give altar calls, to give people opportunity to receive Christ. I want you to receive. I'm not trying to beat you up, not trying to condemn you, not anything like that. I'm trying to get you to receive. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. If you're here tonight, pray this prayer as I pray with these people that are online. And congregation, you can repeat this prayer too. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I ask forgiveness for all my sins. I claim, I confess Jesus as my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that I am forgiven now, that Jesus is my Lord. Thank you, Father, that I'm your child and you're my Father. And tonight, I dedicate myself to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say it to you this way, friends. Let me just say it to you this way. If you prayed that and you know you needed to, and for some reason you just couldn't come up here, find me or somebody else. Make sure you tell somebody that Jesus, you made Jesus your Lord. You want to tap into the power. Nothing worse than having a born-again experience, getting right with God, and then not having the power to live the life to go with it. Just tell somebody.
Jesus is my Lord. I'm right with God. I prayed that prayer, and I'm right with God. Amen? Amen. 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 How many of you believe that God has something good for you? Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, there's other people here. You got these people on either side, ladies on this side, men on this side. They're ready to pray with you about different things that you may have prayer requests about. This is not for counseling, but it is for prayer. And so this is not for you to bring your toughest Bible question to them. It is simply your opportunity to bring a prayer need to them. And so I want to encourage you to come and take advantage of that, because that's why they're here, to serve you. And so we want to encourage you with that. One last thing, those of Connection Team members, if you would find those people that are first-time guests, and you would help them to go to that place where we have a special gift for you, prepared for you, and we want to say thank you. And so if you want to slip out now, and that way you can get ahead of the crowd. You don't have to fight the crowd to get there. Let's give them a great big hand as they go. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday night and receive and do your best. But I want to encourage you more than that. Keep speaking the word. Confession is the road to possession. You said, well, I've spoken it for 3 years and I hadn't seen it yet. Just keep traveling that same road. Confession is the road to possession. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say it with me. Confession is the road to possession. And you're dismissed.